Ujjala Nilamani, October 9th, and the verse is number 10. We're discussing the Nayak Bhed, which means the different types of heroes, different types of personalities that Krishna displays. He's many, many heroes in one. He's a romantic hero. He's a courageous hero. He's a faithful hero. He's an unfaithful hero. He's a faithful hero, and he's a cheat. He cheats. So this is, we're discussing the next verse, 10. Talks about four types of heroes, but I wanted to backtrack a little bit, because when we were talking about Krishna's qualities, there were 11 mental and physical qualities of Krishna's heroic, romantic form, and there were 5 physical qualities, so the mental, physical, psychic, emotional. We describe those. And then here, and also in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami puts the icing on the cake. Krishna has all these qualities. He mentions 21. Krishna, Vishnu, Ram, etc. Not Ram, but Krishna has 64 qualities. That's for, and all the rasas and all his exchanges, he displays those 64 qualities. But this book, Ujjala Nilamani, is only about one ras, Madhurati, the love of Krishna and the gopis. This is the man-woman love, but it's Purushan Prakriti, Param Purushan Para Prakriti, the transcendental Surup Shakti Radharani, Ladini Shakti, and then Krishna. Hero and heroine, transcendental hero and heroine. So there in Madhur Ras, Rupa Goswami opens this book by saying there's 21 characteristics that someone must have. Krishna has 64. Some of these are part of the 64, and some are slightly, well, actually they're all part. But of the 64, these 21 are the essential qualities for a romantic hero, a Nayak. A Braj Prema Nayak, Madhurya Premi Nayak, like Krishna. So first he listed those. And then he said, but of all Krishna's qualities, whether they're romantic qualities, these 21, there's 4 more to make 25, or maybe 21, I forget now. It was 5, and then it was 14, it was 19, and then 4, 23. Maybe it's 23. But these last 4, then he said, these are the 64 qualities. Vishnu has 60. Shiva and Brahma have 55. We have 50, if we're lucky. But Krishna, so Krishna has 4 more than Vishnu. So in Ras, in Prem Ras Vichar, the consideration of conjugal love with the gopis, not conjugal love, he has conjugal love with the queens of Dwarka also, Dwarka Mahishis. But these 4 qualities are special qualities for Krishna, distinguish him from Vishnu, distinguish him from Dwarkadish, distinguish him from Mathuradish, which are different forms of Krishna. And these are the qualities which really make the whole Braj Leela happen. Ultimately, there's these 23 qualities or so of Krishna's body, but these are qualities, as Vishnu Chakravarti pointed out. Let me just back up a little bit here. There was 5 and then 10, 14, 19, 4. It's 23. 23 qualities and characteristics and moods and feelings that make up the heroic hero. So the last 4, Vishnu says these 4, 19 plus 4 makes 23. 19 qualities of Krishna's body, mind, heart, then 4 qualities of his relationships with others. Which others? Well, we're talking about Madhurya Mayi Krishna and Vrindavan Krishna. And that rasa, conjugal loving rasa relationship, is with the Braja Gopis. And so there he shows 4 qualities, which they are his special, astonishing uniqueness, the essence of Krishna. And all these qualities are in relation with the gopis, especially. But in different ways, different aspects of these different qualities also enchant, attract, and attach and melt the hearts of all the Brijvasis. So the first one, they're all sweet, because we're talking about Madhurya Ras, and Krishna's, he's very intelligent, he has a handsome body with perfectly shaped and endowed and all auspicious marks, and he's very clever and he's very witty and he's very funny. All these things we heard. Then finally, to sum it all up, like we have, you know, there's rice and there's dal and there's sabji, then there's the sweet. Kheer, rasgulla, rabri. So that sweet is sweet. Madhur, tasty, satisfying, pleasant, leaves a kind of zing in your mind at the end of a meal. If you have the basic maintenance meal, it's okay. You move, you live. And no sweet, just eat. But then you have that, this. There's an expression in Ayurveda, because Ayurveda says to be successful in digestion, you have to have it. At one meal, you have to mix all the five rasas, or six, or whatever there are. So then it says, and after, at the end of that topic, it says, no meal is complete without a sweet. So Krishna, with all his romantic and wonderful qualities, they're complete, but they're not really complete until you add the sweet, which are his Madhurya Gun. And those sweet qualities are in relationship with, first of all, relationship means others. Whom others? The Braja Gopis, and especially Radharani. So the first quality, this is a review, and this is an introduction to the review, and I found in one of my notes a very nice description of these four qualities. And the more we hear about these four qualities of Krishna, the more we meditate on them and remember them, the more we'll see Krishna and feel Krishna's presence. So what are they? So the first one is Rupa Madhurya. Krishna's form is sweet. Dwarkadish is very sweet. Vishnu is very sweet. But Vishnu is not that sweet. Lakshmi says bye. Lakshmi tells Vishnu, goodbye, Narayan, goodbye. Where are you going? I'm going to Vrindavan. Vrindavan? There's just trees and sand there and Yamuna and some mountains and hills. There's no golden palace. There's no servants. There's no one there. A bunch of Adivasis and some cowherd men. No, I'm going there. And why are you going there? Because there, if you do tapasya there, I can do tapasya here in Vaikuntha. I can go to Swarga. I can go to Himalayas. I can go anywhere and do tapasya. But if you do tapasya in Vrindavan, I'm told that you can get rewarded with Krishna's seva, especially in Vrindavan. So I'm going there. So Lakshmi comes and does tapasya from 5,000 years ago until today and on and on and on. Cross the Yamuna River by Keshigat, walk 45 minutes and straight across through the fields in the winter. It's very nice. And you'll find Lakshmi Devi. You'll have Sakshat Darshan of Lakshmi Devi. She's sitting in like this, Padmasana, under a tree, a bale tree, a bilva patra. And so she has a very luxurious life of eating dried leaves and drinking Yamuna water. And she gets a sweet at the end of her meal in the month of May. In the month of May, the bale tree produces bale fruits. Then the fruits fall off, and Lakshmi cracks them and eats the inside pulp. It's like a big chuck-a-chuck bog. Kacha bale fall. Bitar. So she enjoys. So that, but still, she did that to tapasya in Braj, Vrindavan, and it's told you'll get Krishna, but there was one thing missing. Body does tapasya, but then there's three things required for success. Sankalpa, Bhav, and Kripa. Sankalpa, Bhav, and Kripa. So the Kripa is Krishna's mercy. And the Sankalpa is that Krishna, I've come here to perform austerities in Vrindavan, because it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 7th canto, I believe 7th or 8th, I have the verse, any punya or piety, any punya karma or punya activities, Homa, Yajna, Gyan, Tapa, Dan, all these things, they give 1,000 times the results in Vrindavan. That's all it says. Many of the Rasik Janas and Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, they also comment that this punya, because the word punya says punya karma in the Sanskrit. So punya means religious pious activities, which means following the dictates and vidhi nisheda and rules and regulations and suggestions of the Veda Purana. There are many Puranas in Tamagun, Rajagun, and Sattvagun. 18 major Puranas and 200 or 300 Upa Puranas. So all kinds of pujas, yajnas, tapas, dans are mentioned there. And if one does those anywhere, then he can get many benefits. If he's been sinful or immoral, or he or she, then they give recommendations how to do prayaschitta. Prayaschitta in English means atonement, counteract. You take 10 steps backwards. That's not good. You should go forward. Oh, how do I go forward? Well, do this and do that. Now you come 10 steps back again forward, and you're back at zero. You do pop and you do sin, you get back 10 steps. Then you do prayaschit, then you go back to, you go up forward 10 steps to zero, where you were before you fell down to commit sin. This is in the realm of karmakanda. But we are not karmakandis, no, we're following bhakti upasana, worshipping Krishna. So that verse says, anyone who comes, so Lakshmi, she calculated that way, certainly she knows the shastra, she's shastra nipun, Lakshmi Devi. And so she said, whoa, I could go to Pushkar, I could go to Rishikesh, I could go to Ayodhya, I could go to Kanchi, I could go to Benares, any kind of special holy tapasya places. But none of them have a fall or give a fruit like this. The Bhagavat Puran, the Mahapuran, Bhagavat Puran in 7th canto is saying any punya karma done in Vrindavan, 1,000 times the result. So she came and she performed her tapasya with the sankalpa as I want to attain Krishna. So there was sankalpa, and then there was Bob, and what was the third one? Kripa. So she had sankalpa, there's actually four. Sankalpa, then action, karma, chasta. You have idea. Sankalpa means mental affirmation. Set a vow. Set your goal. This is my sailboat. I'm going to get in this sailboat in the Caspian Sea, and I'm going to sail out of the Caspian Sea, and I'm going to go south and go wherever that goes. We're talking about Krishna's qualities, and so this tapasya she did, but she didn't have the bhav. Sankalpas, you say, I'm going to do something, some action, and I hope that I'll be blessed by the, because this shastra says, if you do this tapasya, if you do this homa, then if you murdered someone, if you stole, then that sin will be exonerated. It will be eliminated. It doesn't eliminate the tendency or the perversion or the lust or the envy or the greed which precipitated or incited that sin. It just gets you back to zero. But bhakti, your parupta karma, aparupta karma, bijam and kutam, four stages of karma are wiped out, washed out, removed. Cheto, darpanam, marjanam. So if a devotee falls down, yoga brushed, then what does he do? What kind of tapasya, what kind of dan, what kind of yajna, what kind of puja, what kind of fasting? Nothing. He chants Hare Krishna. He falls down. What does a baby do? Does he fall down and stay there forever? No. He stands up. And what does he do? He does what he was doing before he fell down. Before he fell down, he was walking or trying to walk, and he was doing a good job at it for many days, many seconds, then, or minutes maybe, or even a whole day he went without falling on his bottom. You know bottom? What you're sitting on. So then one day, boom. So what does the mother say? Oh, you fell. You're a fallen baby. You're bogus, you know. You're not a baby anymore. You're fallen. I don't want to see you anymore. You're a fallen baby. I don't want to talk to you anymore. You're a fallen baby. Now the mother loves him, picks him up, And then says, stand up, walk, man. So he does. We are babies and we are bhakta babies, bacha bhaktas. And our father is Krishna. So Krishna, we walk, we're walking towards the father. The father is standing on one side of the samsara sindhu. Like the mother may stand on one side of the living room. And maybe Pandurameter Lambe. I mean, let's say, not Pandura, it's a big living room. It's a really rich mother you got there. You might stand maybe a Pandurameter, 5 meters, let's say. It's a little more reasonable. And so she's standing 5 meters away, and the baby's there, and she says, come, walk. So the baby tries. So now take that to Krishna. Krishna's standing 5 meters away. But that 5 meters is called samsara sindhu, the ocean of material existence, bhavasagar. But Krishna, like the mother, Bhaktavatsalya Sri Krishna, is standing on the other side of the ocean of birth and death, in the paravyom, in the Vaikuntha atmosphere, speaking across the ocean into our ears of the conditioned soul, into the bhakta. Come, 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 walk. Walk towards me. Come, come. So we go, oh, yes, Krishna, I'm coming. Like the baby, yeah, he's excited. Oh, on my legs, I got legs and I'm standing. I'm not lying on my back and my butt. I'm up. Yes, mommy, I'm coming up. Boom. His mother says, oh, you bum, you lousy kid. I'm leaving. I'm moving out. You just die here. I don't care. Devotees may do that to another devotee who falls down, but Krishna will never do that. Will the mother ever walk away on her baby who falls on his butt, his derriere? No. So Krishna will say, like the mother, encourage, get up once, get up twice, get up thrice. Did you ever think about it? You think, oh, I'm a nicely fixed up devotee. I've been chanting Hare Krishna for 6 years and 7 months and 2 weeks. I have to count in weeks. I'm so on the edge, you know. So, in, or 10 years, I'm like a really big timer. Or maybe 20 or 30. And then some. Then you maybe fall or deviate or have some problem. So everyone points, oh, bad, oh, you're very bad. Bad, very bad, very bad. But anyone who's saying very bad, if he could look in his past life or she could look in her prior life, and they said, oh my God, I fell down 10 times in my last life. I better be a little more humble. Because if we didn't fall down in our last life, because the assumption is, and the acharyas say, and Krishna agrees, that you pick up the spiritual practices and begin the spiritual practices in this life, which you were doing in the last life. The greatest power, there's two great powers in this world. What are the two greatest powers? Knowledge and love. Think about it. If someone has a lot of knowledge, will they be powerful? You ever heard of someone named Bill Gates? He had a lot of brains for a particular area of study and revelation. So he made Apple computers or something like that, or whatever, I don't know, Microsoft and Jobs and Apple. So these are the two most powerful forces in this material world, knowledge and love. So anyone who has a lot of knowledge, they can command and control practically the whole world. Or anyone who has love. So Ram controls with power, Krishna controls with love. And love and power. Excuse me. That's a fact. Ram controls the power. I'm saying love and knowledge. So these two powers, the most powerful factors in this material world are knowledge and love. These two factors, these two powers, knowledge and love, equals bhakti. Bhakti is Ladini Shakti and samvitshakti. It's a combination of knowledge and love. So how much power is there in bhakti? So when someone is practicing bhakti, he gets the power of knowledge and the power of love. And the more bhakti he has, the more love and the more knowledge and of Krishna and the whole spiritual world, and the more insulation and prophylactic power he has to protect himself or herself and go forward. So since we were mentioning about the four qualities of Krishna before, and there's these four very sweet qualities, as I said, they distinguish Krishna. Rupa Madhurya, Leela Madhurya, Vena Madhurya, and Prema Madhurya, all of them are qualities that Krishna shows and shows with others. His Vena and his Murli, his Vena Madhurya, the sweetness of his Vena is only appreciated when he plays it. If you don't play the Vena, you can't appreciate the sweetness. If you're a great singer and don't open your mouth, how will we know? The proof is in the notes. So the Krishna plays his flute to benefit others, and most importantly, to benefit himself. When he plays the flutes, everyone stops whatever they're doing, and every activity they were doing and every sense input they were doing, it all turns into one big figure. It goes up like this, a little bit out like that, and it comes like this. Every living entity in Vrindavan, all their senses, Gyan Indriya, Karma Indriya, and their body, mind, everything turns into a heart. Heart means love. So when Krishna plays his flute, it touches the hearts of every single devotee in Braj. From the kiya, from the insect to the pakshi, from the pakshi to the mriga, from the mriga to the gal, from the gal to all the cows and buffalo and ants and insects and bees and birds and fish and Yamuna and trees. Everyone starts loving Krishna when they hear his flute. And when they're loving Krishna, then they experience ecstatic symptoms. Because love is their love. They all have sthayi rati for Krishna. The permanent loving relationship of every Vrijvasi towards Krishna is love. Oh, I love you, Krishna, as my friend. I love you, Krishna, as my master. I love you, Krishna, as my son. Putana loved Krishna to kill him. Now she loves Krishna to serve him. She's an assistant of Mother Yashoda. She's a nurse mother. So even Putana is loving Krishna. So then what to speak of the gopis? So when Krishna plays the flute, then it's so sweet. Krishna relishes it because everyone dances, everyone's love, everyone's heart starts to melt. And it's described throughout the Bhagavatam, the effect, the prabhav, veno prabhav, veno nad prabhav, the effect of Krishna's veno song on everyone, from the kankan bole to from the grains of dirt to the trees. These are all what we call materially insentient being, insentient matter, prakriti, ashta prakriti. They're just earth and water and fiber, or not fiber, just whatever, quartz crystals. But we hear that the rocks melt. Melting is a symptom of a sattvic bhav. Our hearts melt, when our hearts melt, when something melts, it becomes liquid. Liquid, you know, liquid, water. So when human beings, when their hearts melt, it comes out as tears. When their hearts are melting with anger, it comes out as hot tears. And when their hearts are melting with love, it comes out as cold tears. Cold means temperature, you know. Hot, cold, garam, tanda. Garam ashrubindu, tanda ashrubindu. Tanda ashrubindu, prem kesat. But garam ashrubindu, krod kesat. You just kind of... Eyes red, hot tears. So this is, so the rocks don't cry tears, but they melt into liquid minerals. And they flow down like rushing colored rivers of love. The copper sulfate as a rock is kind of a beautiful blue, like turquoise. Turquoise blue, and it's in the earth of Braj, copper sulfate. And when those rocks, the copper sulfate is all decorating the shikhar, the top of the mountain of Govardhan. And when Krishna plays his flute on his way to for the Goshta Leela, bringing all the cows to Manasi Ganga, the rocks hear the flute and their love gets excited, their dasya rati, because the rocks are, nothing here in Braj is shantarati. Everything is dasya rati, because every single grain of sand and rock and tree and branch and leaf, everyone is serving Krishna with love. And they're all conscious beings. So there's nothing unconscious. And there's, so that's why their hearts melt. So when the rocks hear the flute, the copper sulfite, then they melt with ecstasy. That melting is their ashru vikar, sattvic vikar of ashru. And they really cry. It's a very accelerated and deep expression of its sattvic bhav, transformation. It's involuntary. They start crying, which means their hard sulfite rock, copper sulfite, melts. And then when it melts, it becomes blue streams, beautiful, bright blue streams like turquoise. You know turquoise? What do they call it? Turquoise? And like that Indian kind of jewelry? India, whatever. Maybe here, I don't know. It starts melting down. You can imagine Govardhan with psychedelic bright blue, you know, rivers coming down. It's like, wait a minute, this is Govardhan, or and what did I have? What did they, that Brijvasi, give me for lunch? Blue rivers. Then you see the sulfur melts into yellow rivers. Naturally, there must be a blue river because that's Sham Ras. That blue river represents Krishna, and Krishna Radharani is full of Sham Ras. So that then the sulfur melts into yellow rivers. So these beautiful bright yellow rivers are coming down Govardhan and blue rivers. So if someone's hearing this class, they may think, is this speaker on LSD? What is he saying? But no, these are the statements of the Shastras. In the Bhagavatam it says the rocks melt, the trees shiver. And actually the trees, as explained in Govinda Lilamrita, that the kadamba trees and the tamal trees and the wonderful trees of Vrindavan, they exhibit all eight sattvic bhavs. They cry tears with their honey pouring from the beehives hanging from their branches. And they tremble in ecstasy with the leaves falling off their twigs. It's all analyzed in a very amazing way. So this is one of Krishna's sweet qualities, the effect of Vena Madhurya. And that's what, because I started this discussion saying this is a review of the four qualities before we discuss Krishna's heroic qualities. And I said I would read from my notes, which describes it very nicely. And everywhere Krishna's pastimes are sweet. They're sweet in Kurukshetra Leela. It's so sweet that the acharyas, like Vishwanath, they see sweetness everywhere. Like if I wear yellow glasses, I say, "Oh, you have jaundice. You have jaundice. You stupid! I'm not yellow. My skin's not looking yellow. You have glasses." Oh, well. So everywhere they see Madhurya Ras, and especially Vishwanathji, Chakravartipad. So here it is, Kurukshetra. Arrows are flying back and forth, heads are rolling off, elephants are crashing on the battlefield. It's a mad uproar of mass slaughter of soldiers, thousands and lakhs. And in that ghastly vibhatsa, it's called vibhatsaras, viraras and vibhatsaras, it's heroic, it's ghastly, it's adbhut, it's amazing. Many gona ratis are mixed there, and that sakya. Bhav exchange, the friends, Krishna and the Pandavas and Arjuna. So quite a lot of supporting gona rasas for their stai rati. Amidst all that, holocaust and blood and murder or whatever you're killing, then Vishnu says, oh, I can find Madhurya Ras here. Madhurya Ras in Kurukshetra. This is a very well-known thing. So then there's the famous Tika that it's actually in the first canto, but it's where Bhishmadeva was called the passing of grandfather Bhishma. Bhishma Pitamaha Tirubhav. And there, he's remembering, because he's lying on a bed of arrows after battle of Kurukshetra. Lying on a bed of arrows after the battle. And speaking some dharma in Mahabharata, there's a chapter called Bhishma Parva, and he speaks many dharmic and religious and moral codes and rules. But amidst all that teaching, because Bhishma is one of the Mahajans, Yamaraj says in the sixth canto of Bhagavatam, says, Swayambhur Narada Shambhu Prahlado Janako Bhishma Kumara Kapilo something Narada, like this. So Sukadev and Vyasadev and Bhishmadev and Brahma and Shiva, these are great spiritual teachers. So Bhishmadev is a great spiritual teacher. That's why he's speaking lots of teaching and shiksha in Mahabharata. And also in the Bhagavatam, first canto. I forget the chapter. Maybe two, no, not two. Seven or so. And so in the midst of all that dharma and all that kind of aishwarya vichar and tattva vichar, then he remembers the sweetest scene of his entire life. What is that sweet scene? It's the loving exchanges between Bhishma, who was a great devotee of Krishna. Although he was, by politics and by diplomacy, he was pitted against the Pandavas. And so he was being attacked by the Pandavas. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe that Arjuna finished Bhishma off. I forget. So many arrows it took. Didn't die, actually. He died at will. He had Mrityuicha. He could die at will. But so many people shot him up. But he was fighting with Arjuna at the time. And the day before, Duryodhana said to Bhishma, he said, you're not pulling back your string enough. Just like if you're playing tennis and you're a professional tennis player and you're playing with your 10-year-old daughter. You can follow? The father is a professional tennis player and his 10-year-old daughter. So will he hit the ball like he hits it at the Wimbledon? At the Olympics, if he hits the ball, the daughter will say, where'd it go? She won't see the ball coming over the net. You know tennis? So then he goes, toot. She goes her full speed, toot. And he goes, ta. Almost like badminton or something. So now, and the soldiers on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, they can pull their string back like your tennis racket. You can really hit it. Whop it, or you can just give it a tap. So with the same thing with the danu, you can pull it back. That's why they have the expression in Mahabharata. It says that when Arjuna was firing the bow, he pulled it back beyond his ear. He went like, he held the bow here, he went like this. And the bow is practically breaking. He's so strong, the bow, the bow for the arrow. And then, boom, it's like a rocket ship, So this, or they can hold it back. So Duryodhana, this is criticism, one chapter to the other. Duryodhana said, you're fighting for me, but you're just going like a practice. You're pulling your, I see you fighting. Okay, the Pandavas, boink, and you shoot, an arrow just goes like that. It doesn't even reach, like a little kid shoots a bow and arrow and it goes 5 feet. Then the father picks it up, dong, in the target. They target bread. So then he said, okay. Tomorrow, these five arrows, I will kill all five Pandavas. This is my sankalpa. Remember sankalpa? I will do this. Then the next day was his action. So he had his sankalpa, then he did his action, and the kshetra was there, and he was doing war. It was Kurukshetra. Kshetra means field. So there, Then the third factor for success is kripa of Krishna, mercy. So he told in a heroic way, displaying his vira ras, I'm a kshatriya, I'm a hero. Bhishma Patamaha, see this arrow? He pulled one out. I'll kill Arjuna with this, and I'll kill Bhima with this. And then, so Duryodhana said, very good. And they shook hands. Jai. Now, Duryodhana was thinking, I don't know whether I can trust this Bhishma because he loves the Pandavas, but he's fighting for me. So Duryodhana said, let me hold those five arrows. Let me hold those five arrows. And then Duryodhana kept them. I'll give them to you tomorrow, just to make sure. Now Krishna knows everything, past, present, and future. So that night, Krishna came, you know the story. Krishna came to Duryodhana's camp. And he said, and Duryodhana said, so, Yadunath, Yadunandan, why have you come? You want to give up, run away? You want to surrender? If you are wise, you'll surrender. I hope that's on your mind. Is that what you've come for? Have you come to beg some charity? Have you come? Are you going to fight, or you decided to change your mind when you saw all of our allies? And Krishna Jesus said, no, not like that. But you're famous for being a very charitable person, a very kind and charitable person. And I'm coming to you on a very auspicious titi at a nakshatra, which is very, very good for giving big results in charity, like Akshay Tritya, that's a big one for the whole year, because Akshay Tritya means that you get Akshay Phal for any punya you do. So let's rewind it in English. Akshay means inexhaustible, and Phal means benefit, results, blessings. So that's a big day. So people, the calculators, karmic calculators, they oftentimes they perform on that day. So Krishna came in a very auspicious time, Mangala Tithi. He said, so I just want to beg what? Oh yeah, I'll take some gold, whatever you want. I want Panch Bana, five arrows. And because of his swearing to honesty and his satyam, Duryodhana was a great hero. He said, all right, here's the five arrows. So now, next day, Bhishma said, where's the five arrows? He said, I don't have them. So now they're fighting. Arjuna is fighting Bhishma that day that Arjuna was supposed to die. And then Bhishma was shooting arrows. And Krishna promised, he said, I'll never enter the fight. I won't fight in this battle. I'll only drive the chariot, Parthasarathi. So that same day, then, maybe a different day, whatever, but Bhishma said, I will make Krishna break his promise. Like a husband and wife. Like the wife might say, oh, I promise. And then maybe the husband will try to break that promise or whatever. So now Bhishma said, oh, Krishna says that, you know, that he won't fight. I want to see Krishna fight. I want to see Krishna fight. So then he took a vow. So then what happened was that I think Bhishma broke his chariot wheels or something like that. Do you remember? I don't remember very much. It was long ago. I read it this long ago, like 40 years ago. So I don't read it much. So Arjuna's chariot was broken, and then you can't really do much from chariot fighting without a chariot. And Bhishma was continuing to shoot his arrows at Arjuna, and Krishna was worried. Oh, Arjuna might be killed by Bhishma. He can't move the chariot. He can't get out of the way. He's just a sitting duck. He's just sitting there, and tum, 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 arrows are just raining all over his head and everywhere. So then Krishna picked up a chariot wheel, a broken wheel from the chariot, and he runs to Bhishma to protect. He broke his vow, and Bhishma saw Krishna coming, and he was shooting arrows at Bhishma. Bhishma was shooting arrows at Krishna. He said, I made you break your promise. And when these arrows hit Krishna's chest, because when he was shooting arrows, he didn't pull the bow back to the ear, right? Like a lover may bite you, a husband's a wife may bite each other, but if a monkey bites you, it's different. You want to find out? No. So, a monkey bite, or what to speak of, a dog bites you, you won't be like, you know, in real a lot of bliss about that, you know. Has sleepless nights or days after. You'll be crying all the way to the doctor until you get your 16 shots and 1 month treatment finished. It's a heavy duty thing. So, that's a different kind of bite. So there's different kind of arrow shooting. If you pull the bow like this, it goes boink. If you go like this, it goes woo. So he was shooting. So the arrows were coming, and the arrows are glazing. It's called glazing. Tuck, this glazing Krishna's chest, and then a little tiny little drop of blood. And then Vishwanath. So this is what I start. My starting point was, even in Kurukshetra, there is Madhurya Ras. So Vishnu Chakravarti, in his commentary on this first canto of Bhagavatam, he says when Krishna was getting shot by the arrows of the great hero Yudhisthira, he felt such ecstasy from those arrow scratches. He felt like he was being scratched by his intimate lovers. So this is an amazing thing. So we're talking about Krishna's Leela Madhurya. So even at Kurukshetra, it's Leela. But it's not, I'm saying all these pastimes are very sweet, and there's some Madhurya there, but Vrindavan is very special because there's a unique sweetness here, and that distinguishes Krishna as Leela Madhurya. Uniquely sweet pastimes. What makes a person sweet? Fill in the blank. What? You heard my English? What makes a person sweet? I know. You take 10 glovjamins and you put them in your mouth at the same time, and so much juice will drip down like Madhumangal. You know, Madhumangal eats 100 glovjamins at once. Usually you come with a bowl. Yashoda comes with a bowl. You know, bowl of katori or so, you say? Katori of glovjamins, maybe 50, 60 glovjamins. And it's a serving bowl, and she's giving one to everyone, one for Sri Ram, one for Subha, one for Krishna. And she gets to Madhumangal, who sits like this. He sits, Krishna's here, and Madhumangal's there. They sit opposite. So Mother Yashoda comes to serve, she comes to the bowl, and Madhumangal says, "Oh, thank you." He takes the bowl from her hand and eats all 50 glovjamins. And then it's dripping down, and it's just all over his place. I mean, all over his face. And this is described in Krishna Bhavanamrita, in the Pratak Leela of Krishna's breakfast at Nandagaon when Radharani comes to cook. And then it's described that Krishna, he tells, actually this time he was drinking Shikharini. Shikharini is a yogurt drink. So, and it was all pouring down his chin and his chest. And Krishna said, "Oh, this is very strange. Look, boys. Have we come to Mount Meru? There's a sudden snowfall is falling on Mount Meru, and this huge white snowbank is covering the whole one face of the mountain, because Madhumangala has a golden color body, and all this white yogurt falling down his cheek and lips and chest and just dripping like anything. He's just drinking like 5 liters at once. So how much can you put in your mouth? Your mouth holds like 50 milliliters. And he was trying to put 5 liters in. It doesn't work. It has to go somewhere. So he's getting a hole. So Krishna says, "Oh, look, everyone. There's the nice snow covering the white snow covering the golden mountain is the white yogurt covering the golden skin of Madhumangal. You got it?" So this is how they joke in a Leela Madhurya. So what? You didn't answer my question. Not anyone gave an answer. What makes a person sweet? It's not eating glovjamins and sweet drinks and getting all over yourself. What? Nature. Okay, anything else? Smile. That's all. Anybody can give a fake smile and you think he's a sweet person? Oh, you can tell the difference between... You can tell, oh, that's good. Then the faker has a hard job with you. He has a hard job. Someone said a smile, a nature, a smile. Huh? Achibhav, good feelings inside, which emanate outside in a sadachara and behavior and whatnot. That's very nice. Getting closer to the point. But, excuse me? Oh, now we're going deeper, but beyond the smile. We're going beyond the smile. Even if it doesn't smile, even if you're not smiling, if you have a sweetheart, you're still my friend.
But the smile should come from the heart.
Yeah. Well, that's what they say. Only happy hearts can smile. I don't know about your country. We have a phrase like that. Only happy hearts can smile. Think about that. Because you see many. Right? Right, Suki? You see many people. And you think, what's their problem, man? Like, you know, you're a human being. You're not a monkey. You're not a suffering pig. You know, it can do nothing but frown. You ever see a pig smile? Pigs don't smile. There's one special characteristic about human beings that you won't find in any other species of life. There's 8,400,000 species. What is that one special characteristic? One unique quality? Now, cows have emotions. Cats have emotions. You pet them, they feel happy. That's an emotion, happiness. They go... What is that? Acha. So what's the answer? What's the question? The question is, what is the one ahara? Everyone heard the class 50,000 times in Bhakti class. Everyone is attached to ahara, nidra, maitun, bhayam. Everyone in conditioned life is just absorbed in eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Prabhupada translates bhayam as defending, but in Hindi it means fearing, which is you only defend yourself or have guns and things because you're afraid. So they go together. It's a very unique definition of bhayam, defense. Why do you learn karate? Because you're afraid of an attacker. So when an attacker comes, then you use your karate. So you defend yourself. So defending is removing your fear. Anyway, whatever. So in Hindi or Sanskrit, it's ahara, nidra, maitun, bhayam. So that's common everywhere. Monkeys, dogs, fleas, cats, bees, and trees, and everybody is sleeping and eating and mating, defending. But only the human beings can laugh. Laughter, that is it. So laughter means happiness. Happiness means happy heart. Happy heart means smiling face. Back to where we took off from. I said in America we say only happy hearts can smile. So that then there was one other question. What was the other question? What makes a person sweet? I'll read you the answer. It's in the textbook. You know, the questions are based in the textbook, yeah? It's his submission to those who love him. A beautiful definition. I'm describing Krishna's four qualities, which I stumbled across in an ancient notebook. And since we were discussing it about a day or so ago, I wanted to go back to it. Because it was so, every sentence was so profound. And I that's why I wrote it. When I read it, I copycatted it from somewhere, and I don't remember. But it's just someone's prose explanation of these four qualities, unique sweet qualities of Krishna. What makes a person sweet is his submission to those who love him. I'll give you a simple example. Once one of my godbrothers, who's a psychologist, I think he's maybe sannyasi now also, but he went and got a degree in psychology. I guess it's helpful, very helpful for preaching. Since everyone's a little cracked in Kali Yuga. At any rate, he's a very smart person. So he came here and he said, oh, you know, you have so many books. This, that was about 15 years ago. Why don't you come to Europe, this, that, and preach? The devotees love to hear you, see you, this, that. I said, I don't know anything. I mean, there's so many learned, experienced, advanced devotees traversing the globe that are far superior to me and far more advanced. I'm like a little child. What can I say? And then he said this phrase, which sounds like it's from some book of quotations. But it stuck with me. I hadn't heard it. And he said, because I said, I don't know very much. I can't, what can I, people are so smart now. You know, I just, if I'm going to go there, I'm going to say, Dehino Shminyata Dehi. You know, you're not this body, you should serve Krishna. What will I say? I don't know. And he said, people don't care how much you know, they care how much you care. I think everyone, every professional is some kind of thing. So people don't care. I thought that's pretty clever. That caught my mind, some memory. A few my brain cells got trapped up by that. And it was very deep. People don't care how much you know, they care how much you care. So this is why we say that sweetness means submission to those who love him. Now take the teacher and the student. That's just a generic phrase. And applying this, that what will make a sweet teacher? A sweet teacher will be someone who cares for his students. And he's submissive to those who love him. So if a teacher, everyone's had good teachers and bad teachers. So bad teachers are just there for the money. But a good teacher, he loves the students, and he loves to teach, and he loves to be with them, and he loves to help them. So he's submitting to their thirst. He's submitting to their thirst for serious delivery, or he's submitting to their thirst for punctuality. Some teachers, it's a state school or government school, whatever. Some teachers roll into class 10 minutes late. And what can the student do? Because he's required to sit there at a certain time and take roll. And he's thinking, I'm paying money for this guy, because I went to college, university. I'm paying $100 an hour to sit with this person. He comes here for 40 minutes. I know, time is money. So then, why? Because he doesn't care. So then we don't care, but we have to care, otherwise there's no... This is some analogy. So Krishna, why is he Madhurya Purushottam? Not because he's so powerful or so God, because he's so surrendered and so submissive and so humble around all of his devotees, whatever they want. He wasn't hungry, he wasn't thirsty, but the coward boy said, oh, Krishna, you know, do you smell that fragrance of the tal fruits from Talavan? It's so sweet. And Krishna smelled it, and he knew there were tal fruits, but he wasn't hungry, he wasn't thirsty. He was too busy thinking when he was going to meet Radharani. He was in too much anxiety to have any thirst or hunger. So they said, oh, Krishna, can we go there? And some coward boy said, Gobata and Mandali Bhadra and Vijay and some of the senior protective coward boys that act like Kshatriyas for Krishna. And they said, no, there's Dhenukasura there. He's a ferocious monster. He's a huge monster like Tyrannosaurus Rex or, you know, some huge monster. And he eats men alive. It's told in Garga Samhita, the beautiful, sweet glories of... Sukadeva didn't really like all that stuff, so he left it out. Sukadeva didn't bring that Vyasadeva into the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam description. But there it says that Nanda Baba, his family, Parjanya, they're originally staying in Nandagaon. But this... who's this guy? Well, that was Keshi, actually. But Dhenukasura also. Keshi was harassing Nanda Baba's grandfather, Nanda Baba's father before, and he took to eating all the Brijvasis. So apparently there's a lot of extras. There's a lot of extras in the Nitya Leela of Radha Krishna. They can get eaten one day and then they materialize the next day back in the Leela. I don't know how it works because it's all Nitya. It's all eternal. But how it's described there in this Garga Samhita, that that was Keshi. But Dhenukasura was also eating anyone. Anyone went over his Talavan, they got killed. But that's Keshi. We won't get into that. So that's. But he was eating all the Brijvasis in the valley. So then Nanda Baba said, "Let's get away from here. This Keshi is crazy." So then Nanda Baba moved to Gokul. Yeah, Gokul, and Krishna was born. But before he was born, he was living in Nandagram. He moved to Gokul to get away from Keshi, basically. So then when Krishna was born there, I mean, Keshi's a long-time enemy of Krishna. And Krishna wasn't even here, and Keshi was already an enemy of Krishna's family, eating all the Brijvasis, that's what it says. I'm just repeating. So translation may be faulty also, don't mind, but it says, and these demons are like that, but They're Brijbasis. There's Brijbasis and Brijbasis. They weren't born here and they weren't part of the Nitya Siddhas. They just wandered here with some goats and buffalo from Rajasthan. So they were living, like so many people, I'm here. And someone said, so am I a Brijbasi? I'm an Indian citizen. I'm living here 30 years. Not really. I'm an Indian citizen. I'm not a Brijbasi. I'm not born here. I'm not of this land. Because I heard that distinction once from my Goswami friends in Vrindavan. He said, oh, they all said, because they liked me so much, oh, you're a Brijbasi, you're a Brijbasi, Brijbasi. I was listening clearly, and they were saying Brijavasi. I told this before. Brijavasi. And they were saying, we're Brijbasis, and you're a Brijavasi. And I said, oh, and I was just listening. I didn't quite pick it up. One day they said, I said, wait a minute. I said, but wait a minute, you're born here, and you have so much Bhav, and I'm like this nowhere and nothing, and Nichi Jati and all this. So then they said, no. Do you understand Brijbasi, Brijbasi? I said, not much. They said, we're Brijbasis. Brijbasis means someone who's born here, generation after generation after generation after generation. And we can trace our line when we have a family history. And we're worshiping deities and we're engaged, we're carpenters or whatever. We've been here for eons of time. We're Brijbasis. But you're a Brijavasi. Braja means to go. Braja. Means to go, to move. Go, you know, go. And Vasi means to live. So you came here and you're living here. So that's a Brijavasi. you go away from your country and you come here and you live here. So you're a Brijavasi. This is a Brijavasi Goswami's definition between a Videshi that lives in Vrindavan and a Deshi that's born here. It's very humorous, and if you have a very good ear, many times you'll hear the same distinction. If someone knows it, oh, you're, and one Brijbasi will introduce a Brijbasi to another person, because I've been in many houses and they're introducing me to their relatives or friends. They say, "This is so and so. He's a Brijbasi," and then when he tells me, he says, "Oh, I want you to meet some Brijbasi friends of mine. They came from Haridwar, and I told them about you. They wanted to meet you." So this Brijbasi. So this is the thing. So Krishna's submissive to those who love him. So this is his quality. Now we'll finish these all today. No other form of Godhead has pastimes as sweet. This is first. We said what were we saying? Lila Madhurya, uniquely sweet pastimes. And what makes a person sweet? Because it's sweet pastimes, and it's lila means sweet pastimes, and there's sweet form, and there's a sweet flute, Vena Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya. Then there's Prema Madhurya, sweet prema, Madhurya prema. But what is the sweetness in all those types of loving exchanges? Is Krishna's submission to his lover, submission to the coward boys. Back to Taliban, here's the example of submission. This big demon is there, Dainakasura. And the elder coward boys, they warned Krishna, don't go there, that's Dainakasura. Any birds fly over there, they die. If any cows come there, he eats them. If any people come there, he eats them. We can't go there. And Krishna said, really? Who is this Dainakasura? He's a gada? He's a jackass? There's so many jackasses in this world. Two legs, four legs, many legs, many types of these entities. So then Krishna said, oh, let's go. And they said, oh, Krishna, we want to eat the tal fruits. So then Krishna goes there, and of course, Balaram basically takes the lead role there because he was itching for a fight for a long time. And Krishna, the last few fights, Krishna knocked off the demons. So then Balaram said, look, give me a chance. It's my turn. So then Balaram, Krishna stepped behind, and Balaram went and grabbed him by the because the way these, gada, jackass, ass, the way they fight is they run, they go, they make noise in front of you. They run at you and make a bunch of noise, open their mouths, and then they turn around and go, doink, with their back legs, they kick you. So, and they're supposed to knock your head off and send you flying, like a punch. But Krishna just grabbed their legs and threw them in a tree. It's finished. So he did that because he's submissive to the coward boys. He's okay now. And so many fruits were contaminated by the following of the animals, but so many weren't. There were still so many fruits up on the tree. So Balaram, he said, listen, boys, hold open your chatters. Everybody held their chatters open underneath the trees, because there was, all the demons were killed, and there were still some trees. There were no demons touching them and no blood, anything. So Balaram shook the trees. You know, if you've ever been in a farm, you shake a tree. We used to have many apple trees in my farm. And my brother and I would shake them, and all apples would fall on their head. Or maybe he did it deliberately, I don't know. I couldn't even shake the tree. So, so Krishna did that with the tall fruits. So this is what makes Krishna sweet, and his pastimes in Vrindavan are sweeter than any Lila Madhurya. Krishna is so completely submissive to the love of his devotees, and the pastime of the Ras Lila is the sweetest of all. Of all Krishna's pastimes, the Acharyas say that the Ras Lila, and we may think, what's Ras Lila? Some music, some dancing in the nighttime, and they come and go, this, that. Oh, what is that? Nothing. But there's so many layers and so many commentaries and so deep, and so many bhajans have been written about Ras Lila, and so on and on and on. So they all say that this is the sweetest, because in the Ras Lila, Krishna submits to the devotee's love to the fullest extent. So Krishna is submissive to the love of his devotees. So he's more submissive to the love of Yashoda and Nanda than he is to the love of Sri Ram and Subal, because they're in Vatsalya Bhav, which is more deep and more close and more intimate and feelingful for Krishna. So he submits more to them. But then more than Yashoda's Radharani and the gopis, Madhurya Ras. So they have the most love for Krishna, the most submission and most dedication. So Krishna submits himself the most to the gopis. And where does he show that submission the most? Thank you for listening. In the Ras Lila, which I just said 2 minutes ago. Krishna, what is the he's full of sweetness. What is the definition of sweetness? One who submits to the love of his devotees. So who are the greatest devotees? Most surrendered devotees? Yaya tamam prapadyante? The Brajagopis. And who is the most surrendered Brajagopi? Radharani. So who does Krishna submit the most to? Radharani. So what lila displays or exhibits Krishna's supreme form of submission to the love of his devotees? Ras Lila. And is it one chapter to describe this Lila? Five. Five chapters. Every other Lila is a half a chapter. Aristasura and the forming of Radhakund is a half a chapter. It's not even half the chapter of the Bhagavatam. There's another demon killed in the same chapter. One chapter for two demons. Whereas we don't care about the demons, we care about, you know, Radhakund formation. But Ras Lila, and there's all kinds of rasas there. There's Sakya Ras and Vatsalya Ras, and the first 10 chapters, there's so much Sakya and Vatsalya. And then Venugita and all these Gitas. But Ras Lila, why five chapters? And then all the Acharyas say that the Ras Lila is the smiling face of Krishna. It represents his smiling face. They say 10th canto of Bhagavatam is Krishna's face, his head. What makes the head beautiful? What makes the head sweet and attractive and beautiful, like someone said, smile, and maybe you? So is his smile. So the smile of the head of the Bhagavatam is the 10th canto, Dasama Skanda, Shir Head. Then the smile is Ras Lila. There's five parts to Krishna's smile. I don't know about that. But. So this is why it's the sweetest of all Lilas. Because he's very nice. These notes are good, no? Are they good? Whoever knowledges this, I offer respect to them. I'm simply reading it. So there's four sweetnesses of Krishna: Lila, Prema, Rupa and Venu. So now Prema Madhurya means Krishna's sweet devotees, his Madhurya Bhaktas, Krishna's sweet devotees. Because I said this is Krishna's Prema Madhurya means the uniquely sweet devotees of Krishna. And the analogy that is given is just as a jewel is more beautiful when set in a gold ring, a person is more enchanting when he's surrounded by those who adore him. Very interesting analogy. You have a diamond. It's just sitting there. But if you take a diamond and set it in a gold ring or in gold earrings, then the diamond enhances the beauty of the gold, and the gold enhances the effect and beauty of the diamond ring. So the analogy is used to compare Krishna by himself is Madhurya Hiramani. He's a diamond of Madhurya Ras. But when he's surrounded by the circle of golden gopis, let's do it another way around. Krishna is Ujjala Nilamani. Ujjala Nilamani Sham. Because Nilamani, money means gem, Nila means blue sapphire. Dark, not from Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka natural, of course they dye them all. Fake. It's real, but the cheap real, then they dye it fake, expensive. But it's kind of pale pinky color, pinky lavender color. They call it blue sapphire. But from Africa, Tanzania and places like that, you can get a very deep, dark blue sapphire. This is Krishna. This is Ujjala Nilamani. So this Ujjala Nilamani, if it's there, it's very nice. But if you put it in a gold ring, it really looks beautiful. So the Ujjala Nilamani is Krishna standing in the center. And it's the center of what? The ring of gopis. The ring of gopis means the Ras Mandala. Mandala means circle or ring or orb. So when the Ujjala Nilamani Krishna joins with the golden gopis, Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi, and that makes a beautiful, very beautiful combination. So that's why the Krishna's quality of Prema Madhurya means when Madhurya Prema Mayi Krishna is with his Premi Bhaktas. And especially the Madhurya Premi Bhaktis, the gopis. So the analogy of it goes even to that extent that the Ujjala Nilamani is a gem, but here it's also Krishna, his color. And the gold ring is the golden color of the gopis because he's holding one. And sometimes Krishna dances in the center, plays the flute, and in the middle of the Ras Mandal, and all the ring is around it. So just like the ring is in the middle, I mean, the blue sapphire is in the middle and the ring is around it. So it's like this, very beautiful. So this is Krishna's Prema Madhurya. When Krishna, the Brijbasi's love for Krishna is unparalleled. And when Krishna is surrounded by the Brijbasi's, he shines more brightly as the zenith of enchanting sweetness. Veno Madhurya, unique sweetness and all-attractive flute. No being in the universe can compete with Krishna's musical expertise. Even the great demigods like Shiva and Indra, who know music very well. Actually, Indra Dev is a superb connoisseur of the finest things in the universe. And he knows all about good music. And Shiva is a musician of some extent. And Brahma, they actually originated many musical skills and ragas. Yet neither Indra or Shiva or Brahma were the most musically astute and learned and experienced musicians in the whole universe. Indra, Shiva, and Brahma. Yet they cannot, this is told in Bhagavatam, they cannot comprehend the fascinating musicianship of Krishna that he joyfully displays when he plays his flute. This is Veno Madhurya. It's sweet, it's expert, it's amazing. And that's the whole idea that the first introduction to Krishna is sound. I read that in one purport once. Our first introduction, we meet someone. So you might say, I'd like to introduce you. This is my father, this is my friend. So it's called introduction. So the first introduction, connection with Krishna is through sound. We will meet Krishna in sound. Nam, Rup, Gun, and Leela. So this idea is that we are chanting this Kam Gayatri. And Kam Gayatri contains Krishna playing the flute, calling the gopis to his side for Ananga Ras, for Madhurya Ras. So it's told by those advanced and learned acharyas, when Krishna plays his murali, he plays in the kling, the bija mantra of Shringhar Rati or conjugal love is called kling. It's written like K-L-I-M with a dot and like long, this thing. Kling, kling, it's like nasal. So when he's playing the flute, this kling is emanating throughout the universe, creating love in the universe, because it's the bijam of love. So this is sound. So also in this Kam Gayatri is the kling, which is emanating from Krishna's flute, and then Krishna's flute sound itself. So the rasik janas and advanced acharyas say when one is chanting Kam Gayatri, his first introduction to Krishna will be hearing Krishna's flute. Shabda. Nam is shabda, sound. And from shabda comes rupam, form. So from the sound of Kam Gayatri, one will hear the Venu nod, murli nod, the sound of the flute. And the flute will bring the form of Krishna. The Vamshi nod will bring Vamshidhari Rup. This is one level of advancement in chanting the Kam Gayatri. I've heard and read. Not that I haven't heard the flute, no. I've heard this from teachers and I've read. So this is, and if this is not happening, then keep chanting. Because this mantra, Kam Gayatri, is all about Madhurya Ras and all about unfolding and revealing and discovering a seva and a form and a position there in Madhurya Ras. And that is all this mantra is for. The Kam Gayatri originates from the Puranas, and the mantra is used for worshipping the god of lust, Kamadev. It's for that. It's a Karma Kandya mantra, which is used for worshipping the god of lust to fulfill lusty desires. So I know many gurus that don't even give this. They initiate in Gaudiya Sampradaya. They give Gopal mantra, which is the proper Diksha mantra, and other mantras, but they reserve this. And they test the qualification. So if one receives that mantra, then he best be careful to fix his mind always in the right sankalpa and gati. Sankalpa ishtadeva and gati. So there, when we continue chanting properly, it will bring us to the Aprakrita Kamadev, Sakshat Manmata Manmata, the Smara Murtiman, Sri Krishna. And that's the goal. So Prema Madhurya, we heard about, and then Vena Madhurya, we're just discussing, and then Rupa Madhurya. The unique sweet beauty of Krishna. In this world, people use clothing and jewelry and makeup to enhance their charm. But Krishna, however, is told in Bhagavatam, maybe it's early on, maybe it's first or second canto, Bhushanangam, that Krishna's body is the ornament of the ornaments. Usually a naked body, it doesn't look so special, but earrings and bracelets and necklaces, even in the Vedic times, the Kshatriyas and wealthy cultured men, they would wear earrings and necklaces and armbands and bracelets, everything, something like a lady almost. even ankle bells sometimes. When Krishna's in rasa dance, he may wear ankle bells. I never read, but that sometimes they say like that. I never read. But these, so they're very highly decorated. In the Bhagavatam, the acharyas want to distinguish the uniquely beautiful quality of Krishna's body. He's so beautiful and so attractive that you put all kinds of gold and emeralds and diamonds and pearl necklaces and kushtuba money, which is some red jewel, according to Kavikarnapur and Krishna Bhanamrita, they say it's red, the kushtuba money. And it puts all these decorations on. When these ornaments and necklaces were lying in the jewel box, they were attractive. They looked all right and sparkling and shiny. But when they put them on Krishna's body, they became 10 times more sparkly, and the pearls looked more opulent and radiant. And the more opulent and real a jewel is, it looks so more attraction, more color and vibrant. So, and that was noticed that when the rishis and sages, they write books many times, it's because of their drishti, their sakshat drishti. They've directly seen Krishna. And then they can write about it. And Lord Rupa Goswami, he's writing about the leelas he's seeing. He's not just thinking, well, let me write a nice novel. He's doing bhajan, he's seeing so many leelas, and there's so many verses here, and Alankar Kostuba, and everywhere you see beautiful leelas being described by our Gaudiya Vaishnava acharyas, and they haven't copied them from anywhere, and they're not even found anywhere. They're unique spurtis and manifestations of their fruits of their bhajan. So this is the Krishna's Rupa Madhurya. It's so beautiful that when he puts the ornaments on, the ornaments become beautiful. He's the same. Because when Krishna entered Mathura, the Mathura Ramanis, they're all on the rooftops and they're admiring Krishna and they were saying, oh, look at him. And they, oh, yeah. And then he said, there's a famous verse which I see it all the time in the Natadasa's Srila and Natadasa's books. Asamordva Ananya Siddham, and it's a long verse in Sanskrit. So they're glorifying Krishna's beauty and attractiveness and qualities with the choicest, most beautiful Sanskrit verse or two. And that chapter, 10th canto, chapter 30, 40 maybe, chapter 40, when Krishna enters, called Krishna Enters Mathura, the Sanskrit verse, and the many beautiful commentaries. So they said, Asamordva, they said, Asamordva Ananya Siddham. They said, Look at this man. There's no one in the universe equal to him in beauty. And no one's greater than him. Asam and Ordva. Then Ananya Siddham. And he's perfect. He's totally perfect. And look at his face. Look at his lips. Look at his hair, his eyes, everything, his chest. He's absolutely perfect, gorgeous, delicious. When the rasic janas are writing about Radharani's form, they use words that their form is tasty. They said, I forget the Sanskrit, the form, their bodies, their transcendental bodies, they're delicious. They're tasty and delicious. And usually these adjectives are used to describe the qualities of food. Tasty drinks, tasty snacks, sweets, cakes, pies. Rubbery, I mean that's Western style, rubbery and rasgulla and sandesh and burfi, our new claimed favorites. But this is how it's described. So they said he's Ananya Siddham, he's so perfect. And Ananya, there's nobody else, there's nothing and no one else that can compare to the perfection we're seeing. Krishna is the perfection of our eyes. So, and every other word is like this. So this is the Rupa Madhurya of Krishna. He's Bhushanangam. Ornaments don't make him look beautiful in fancy clothing. He makes fancy clothing look more beautiful and more ritzy than it really is. He can put on cheap clothes on Krishna and they'll look like they're expensive because he's so beautiful. So this is Krishna is more beautiful than anyone else. Even among expansions and incarnations, Krishna's beauty is supreme. Krishna's sweetness and beauty, sweet beauty attracts everyone, even Krishna himself, to taste the bliss of devotional service. So we never hear about Nisringadev looking in a mirror and getting attracted to himself. Wow, I really look good, especially with that blood dripping down my lips. Oh, nice, and all those scratches on my chest. Of course, that could have some deeper meanings, but for Lakshmi Devi, maybe, but let's just put it that. Or Varaha. Varaha looks in the mirror. Wow, I'm so beautiful. I'm so attractive. But when Krishna sees himself, he's totally amazed. Once Krishna was stealing yogurt. Once. How many times? Uncountable times. So one of the uncountable times that Krishna was stealing yogurt and Gokul. Then all these pillars are all shiny like onyx and all this like highly polished marble and stone and whatever, jewels, columns. Very shiny. So Krishna was stealthily going from one column to the other, going like this, getting closer to the milk storage. There's one little door there, and just there was only one pillar and one door away from ecstasy. And Krishna would get to that door and open it, then loot. He would loot the yogurt. And so he got to one pillar. He was standing there, and he's very so fearful, because when you're fearful, you see anything. If a little kid is fearful, and he's sleeping in a room by himself, and the wind blows, like in the summer, and the curtains, long curtain on the window, and it moves, and he's a little fearful. He looks, lights are out, a little bit street light coming through. Oh, mommy. This is a fear. So then Krishna looks in this column, because he's fearful. So when you're fearful, the idea is, the analogy was, and little side trip story was, when you're fearful, you see illusions and you make up things. So Krishna is really fearful. He doesn't want to get tied up, doesn't want to get beaten, doesn't want to get embarrassed, doesn't want yogurt poured over his head, doesn't want his ears pulled, doesn't want dirty words told him. Well, he likes those also. But right now, he doesn't want to hear it. He likes gali basha, bhot pasante. He really likes, you know, bad, dirty talks. And they curse him and ridicule him. Hey, Durta Pravara. You know, Kalu Lumpat. You black romancer. You king of cheaters. Durta Pravara. Hey, Kalu Lumpat. You black womanizer. So usually likes it, but not now. And he's too young for that anyway. He's just a little boy. He's 3 years old, busy stealing yogurt. That's later on. So kids are afraid of chastisement. When you're old, it's like, okay, tell me anything. I'm tough. So we it just rolls off the back. When you're little, oh, any little word hurts you. You know, when you're little, your emotional, you know, resilience is less. So Krishna is standing there, he looks in the pillar, and he sees there's another coward boy there, and standing next to him in the pillar, and he's really beautiful, and Krishna's looking. Oh, shh. He sees him and he's, oh, who are you? Oh, shh, be quiet. Don't ask me who I am, where I'm from, don't ask. Be quiet. Shh. Okay, go ahead. Then he's looking. And he's thinking, how beautiful this boy is, you know. Then he says, listen, I'm going in there to steal your mother's yogurt. And when I come back, I'll give you some. So just wait. Okay, but be quiet. So Krishna, when he's going in the room, he's thinking, who is that boy? He's not in my entourage. He's not one of my sakagan. I don't recognize him. He's really beautiful. He's really beautiful. And then, so then he steals the yogurt. He gives some. He rubs some yogurt on the pillar. You know, the boy's face is there on the pillar. So he says, here, take some. So he puts some yogurt on the pillar. Pillar, you know, the column, stamba. Krishna takes some yogurt because he sees his reflection. He's looking. He sees, oh, take some yogurt. Oh yeah, you like it? It's nice. Yeah. So his reflection is getting full of yogurt. You follow? Imagine looking in the mirror and putting yogurt in your face. Now, is this wild or not? Sham, is it wild? You like it? So then he joins the boys. And then in Dwarka, it happens in Vrindavan, it happens in Dwarka, it happens in Mathura. Krishna falls in love with himself, like all of us. You're in love with yourself. You're in love with yourself. Look how beautiful I look. Oh, look, I'm so happy. But you fall in love with your image in the mirror? Are you so attracted to that? So this is the unique beauty of Krishna, his Rupam, Lila Madhurya. He's so very, very specially attractive that the Munis, the Rishis, Lakshmi Devi, everyone gives up whatever they're doing and they run after Krishna. You're running the universe. You're Lakshmi. If you stop giving the dough, everyone's busted. So Lakshmi Devi leaves. She's the queen of fortune in Lakshmi. She leaves her post. Who gives fortune in Lakshmi if she's busy doing tapa? So she has a big responsibility. There's a whole story that in the Puranas how Lakshmi got angry at Narayan. So she said, look, I'm not giving any more money. So Lakshmi Devi withdrew all the money in the universe, all the gold coins and silver. And there, no one could do anything. No one could buy or trade or purchase or anything. So they were all crying, hey Vishnu, hey Vishnu. He said, my wife is angry at what to do. So somehow break her anger and let loose the money, you know, the monetization. Lakshmi Devi did monetization on the money. She froze it all. So these powers are there. But they gave up all that position and power to come to the Rasa. Shiva may have missed his engagement. He's supposed to crash down the universe. And he hears the music of the Rasa dance. He says, hey, I want to take part. He just came flying down on Nandishwar on the night of the Rasa dance, came walking up. Hey, I want to dance. This is some good music. You know, if somebody likes to dance, they hear some good music, their feet start moving automatically. You know, they move, you know. The beat is right and the mood is right. So Shiva is a great dancer, Nataraj. So he came down, I'll go see him. And he brought his din-din drum. He thought, I can play along. I could keep some good rhythm. Ta 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 ta. You know the drum? That can, you know, fast, when you go fast, and Krishna's whirling around. One gopi and whirling around like a firebrand. Going around this gopi and then that gopi and that gopi in a whole circle. It's very nice, really, like this. It's called Damru. You know Damru? Damru. They call it Dindin. In English, they call it Dindin. Damru. Hold it! Wait. Apkone, apka admi rupe, praveshne yoga. You can't go inside the Rasa dance in Purusha Bhav or Purusha Rup. And you have both of them. You have Purusha Bhav and Purusha Rup. Women have Purusha Bhav also. I'm enjoyer. I'm everything. I am the enjoyer and I am everything. So he said, oh, acha. What I have to do. In the English, Indian style English, what have I to do? you need a gopi roop, and you need this gopi bhav. So then he went to different places, they say, but he went to Mansarovar, did austerity. So Shiva came to see this form of Krishna, Brahma came to see the form of Krishna, Indra came to see the form of Krishna, Lakshmi Devi came to see the form of Krishna. Varunadev came to see the form of Krishna. Mahavishnu made arrangements to see the form of Krishna by stealing the sons of the Brahman in Dwarka. So how attractive is Krishna's Rupa Madhurya? Can you imagine? So, this is... I think that's about it. Everyone among expansions and incarnations, they're all attracted. Krishna's sweetness attracts everyone. What's the conclusion? Krishna's wonderful pastimes is Lila Madhurya, his devotees, Prema Madhurya, his flute playing, Vena Madhurya, and his beauty, Rupa Madhurya, make Krishna the supremely all-attractive entity. And among all expansions of God or forms of God, Govinda Madhav Krishna is the supreme stimulus for Biva, Vishai, and ecstatic love. So this is some of the glories of Krishna. And we have about 4 minutes left or so, 5 minutes. So what to do? I'll read this verse, number 10, since this class will be on Ujjala Nilamani. This is verse 10 and chapter 1, which is introducing just briefly mentioning four types of heroes. Purvavakta dirod dat adi chatur vedasya tasya tu patish chopapatish cheti prabedadiha vishuta. Four aspects of Krishna's personality as a heroic personality, he displays or exhibits four types of heroes, and they're described, and he said I described these already before in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and there's two types of each of the four categories, one that's married and one that's unmarried. Married means pati and unmarried means upapati. So there's a dhirodatta pati, dhirodatta upapati, dhirodatta pati, dhirodatta upapati, dhiralalita pati, dhiralalita upapati, and dhiraprashant pati and dhiraprashant upapati. So in the Tika of Jiva Goswami, he gives us a definition of each of these by citing the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And that's why Rupa Goswami asked Jiva to write commentaries, because now we're reading this and it's assumed that we already remember the definitions and the meanings of these four types of heroes. He said, Rupa says, four types of heroes, and he mentions them. Then he said, I described them in my previous book, so you must be remembering those because you must have read that. Yes? And you must have studied that. You must have memorized it. Yes? No. Or yes, I read it. Yes, I forgot it. So then, and then he goes to the next verse, and that doesn't say anything more. But these, it's good to refresh ourselves on these and be reminded what the definitions are. So our most merciful Jiva Goswami, as the commentator, is telling us. This is a dhirodatta. Dhirodatta. A hero, a romantic hero, who is grave, modest, tolerant, merciful, determined, and vows, and who eclipses or obscures others' pride. And he's not boastful or proud, but he's strong, is called dhirodatta. I also have a little bit, I think I'll read one of his and one of mine, and then an example from Govinda Lilamrita. Dhirodatta, this is from my own notes, one example of a Dhirodatta Nayak in Madhurya Leela is Ramchandra, Lord Ramachandra. So, this because the gravity, in other words, a short form, if you want to give a short definition of a Dhirodatta, it's called the chivalrous hero. It means he's heroic, he's chivalrous. This is a one word, and I have four words for each of them. And this is one, chivalrous. So these are the qualities of the Dhirodatta, chivalrous, heroic hero. Hero means Nayak, we translate Nayak as hero, but the word Nayak actually means romancer, it means lover. So we say hero and heroine, it means lover and beloved. So the quality, when we say hero, that means viraras, a courageous fighter, a hero. So this is Dhirodatta. So these are the qualities of Krishna's Dhirodatta. Gravity, humility, always offering respect to fitting persons, and other wonderful qualities which endear him to everyone. A Dhirodatta Nayaka like Krishna, he shows gravity, courtesy, compassion, modesty, forgiveness. Nevertheless, at times, Krishna renounces, he shows these qualities, because in the morning, when before he goes out for cow tending, Nanda Maharaj says, have you performed your Yuvaraj Dharma? Because before you begin your day, you have to offer tarpan to the sun, and you have to do your Narayan Puja, and you have to do your Narayan Mantra, and you have to give charity to the Brahmins of some cows and gold. Have you done all that? And Krishna says, yes. So then these are some of the duties. So when he's doing all these things, he's showing his nature as Dhirodatta, his courteous, I would say courageous, kingly-like type nature. hero. However, nevertheless, although Krishna in the morning, in the morning before he leaves and goes to the forest, he's a Dhirodhata Nayak. Then he renounces. He renounces all these. He takes off that costume. Now I'm a newspaper reporter, and I'm taking the news. And now there's somebody in distress, and I go into a phone booth and I change, and I put on a cape, and then I become Superman and I fly in the sky. So I change my costume. So Krishna, it's not a costume. It's emotional and mental traits and qualities of the hero. So he's this kind of hero at this time, and that kind of hero at this time, and this kind of Nayak at this time, and that kind of Nayak. Four different types. And then four different types is a chivalrous hero, and four types is an unmarried. So nevertheless, all these qualities of the Dhirodhata, Krishna renounces them all for the sake of Radharani when he goes out to meet Radharani in secret. So when Krishna, he's given a charity, he's done all these activities as this Nayak, Dhirodhata Nayak, now he's a Dhiralalita Nayak. And one of the qualities of a Dhiralalita Nayak is that he is controlled by his lovers, controlled by Radharani, Prem Vashibhut Radharani. So now that's why he's running into the forest with the cows. So in front of his father, you follow? You can follow what I'm saying? You understand? Dhirodhata, now Dhiralalita, he changes his presentation. It's just like, you know, you're like this. And they say, oh, you have to perform tonight or whatever. You won't go like this. You have special fancy clothes. So then you change. Now I'm the performer. And now we're going to play football or say cricket. So you know, you won't go with your sari. You wear some pants or, you know, or whatever, or tennis. You know, there's different costumes. You're the same person, but you're different costumes. And the costumes and the engagement, you'll show and display different emotions, different feelings. When you're doing the music thing, there's certain emotions and feelings and qualities of you that you're showing. But when you're wrestling, like a person may be a sitar player, he's a man, but then he's also a Hanuman Bhakta. I know some like that. And he's so refined and so, you know, ethereal and celestial playing sitar. And then he goes and works out at the wrestling with all the Hanuman devotees. And they wrestle in the sandbox, you know, they wrestle. In the end, they lift weights there, you know. There's a place over here by Mahesh Mahadev Temple. So now it's a different costume. Now it's langoti. It's only keva langoti. It means like underwear, and then they're wrestling. But when he performs, a silk shirt and some necklace and, you know, kajal around his eyes and his hair oil. And when he's wrestling, he's so like, you know, the anubhavas he's expressing and the moods. Can you follow? So Krishna, it's human lila. So all these analysis is part of the human thing, but try to understand Krishna, because this is the one we want to live and serve with Krishna forever. So Dhirodhata, when he gives it up, so grave and gentle. So all the qualities of a chivalrous hero, which means gravity, which all what I said, gravity, compassion, forgiveness, upholding vows, modesty in speaking, honesty, power to defeat the pride of others, heroes exist in their fullest and only in Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So this is the Dhirodhata hero. So they're giving an example of Lord Ramachandra. He's also Dhirodhata Nayak. As his primary definition of what type of Nayak Ram is a Dhirodhata Nayak. Of the four, although Krishna exhibits any one of the four in different mediums or leelas, and different associates, different types of Nayak, Bhav, and presentations Krishna will display. So Krishna's characteristic is Dhiralalita. He's Dhiralalita. He's a Dhiralalita Nayak. Krishna, like someone, you have a quiz question. Of the four Nayaks, what kind of Nayak is Krishna? I just said it. Dhiralalita. Just remember, Lalita Sakhi and Krishna. How Krishna is afraid of her. Anyway, afternoon at sleepy time. Everyone feels sleepy from 12 o'clock at night until 5 in the morning, yeah? And everyone feels sleepy from 12 o'clock in the day till 5 in the evening, yeah? And then at 5 o'clock, okay. And 6, all right. And 7, all right. And 8 o'clock, and then rip roaring. By 8 o'clock in the morning, you're roaring. By 8 o'clock at night, I mean most people. By 8 o'clock at night, I'm like the villagers. I'm setting my things on the roof. And because the morning comes way before the sunrise. So it's like this. So Krishna, I love this explanation. Yes, Krishna said, "Hero, that the hero." But except when Radharani's love, when he's going to see Radharani, okay, goodbye. Because one of the qualities that Dhirodatta hero, he speaks very modestly, speaks very respectfully. Yes, Nanda Baba. Yes, 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 Yashoda Maya. Yes, 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 I'll do this. Yes, Dao. Yes. But then when he gets out with the cowboys, you're not a big man, I'm a big man. Who do you think you are, Subal? I pinned you twice last week and I'm going to throw you in the mud right now. That is not courtesy in speaking. That is not modest speech. So see how he changes. And now and so this is the multivariated personality of Krishna. So we'll read an example. I'm kind of stalling for time because Mridanga player is supposed to come here, quote her up, and he's not here. So we may have to just go without him. Anyway, I'll finish on this example from Gita Govinda. Sri Jayadeva Goswami Pada Ki Jai. Gita Govinda by Sri Jayadeva Goswami Pada, Act 1, verse 21. And in this verse, it describes Krishna, the qualities of the chivalrous hero. Acha, pronounce. The qualities of the chivalrous hero, the Dhirodatta Nayak Lakshana. Dhirodatta Nayak. So the acharyas of this verse, their comments, they say this is a good example. So we're discussing. Dhirodatta. This is the first type. Dhirodatta we're talking about. Amala Kamala Dala Lochana. Amala Kamala Dala Lochana. Bhava Mochana He. Bhavamochana tribhuvana bhavana nidana. Bhavamochana tribhuvana bhavana nidana. Jaya Jaya Deva Hare. Well, actually, this Act 1, these verses are part of the Mangalacharana of the book, the beginning, the auspicious prayers to begin the book. So this Sanskrit verse and these words are describing qualities of the chivalrous hero. The chivalrous nayak, I should say, because chivalry means heroic or courageous. The courageous lover or the courageous person. Amala Kamala Dala Lochana Bhava Mochana Tribhavana Bhava Jai Dev. Amala Kamala Dala Lochana Tribhavana Bhavana Nidan. Unbelievable. Lord Chaitanya, in the highest pinnacle of Madhurya Rasa and Gambira, he was, every single word he would have sudipta sattvic bhavas and be trembling and crying like a syringe and moaning and groaning when Srupa Damodar would speak these verses from Gita Govinda at 1 o'clock in the morning in the Gambira. Same verses. Translation. O Deva Hari, Krishna, Your wide eyes resemble the petals of an immaculate lotus flower. Amala, Kamala, and Dala Lochana. You bestow liberation from the sorrow of material existence. Bhavamochana, Tribhuvana. Bhavamochana. Mochana means mukti, liberation from sagar, material existence. You are the foundation of the three worlds, Tribhuvana, Bhavana, Nidana. May you be triumphant. So these apparently, because his heroic qualities in liberating them, and his wide open eyes, like the hero when he's fighting, his eyes may be wide open. At any rate, they're citing this as an example. So I gave this as an example. Rupa Goswami Pad has other examples you can read in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu about the Dhirodatta hero, but I've covered that before in a previous class, so I wanted to have some new information in this class. So this is the end of Ujjalini Lamani, and tomorrow we'll start with Radharasa Sudaniti. So we'll catch up. Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe.